Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, Podlers. Welcome along. Who would like to hear some out-of-context Matt Dyson? You would? Well, here you go.
She'd swallow the tea and then spit the balls into my mouth.
Enjoy the show.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
It's been a wee while since we played this game. You're the first, you're the last, my everything. And it tests the music knowledge of you early birds. It tests your ability to turn up your devices when many others around you will be trying to be asleep right now. Because you've got to listen so carefully to what you're about to hear. Because I've taken a very popular ditty from across our playlist. In fact, it's Absolute Radio Noughties today. And I've taken the first note. I've taken the last note.
Nice backing vocals, aren't they?
And I thank you, Emma Glenn. Really nice singing there. And I've gaffer taped them together. Can you identify the song? If you can, you can win yourself a breakfast show mug. So here we go. For the first time in 2024, this is my first, my last, my everything.
Oh my God!
There you go. That's all you get.
Gotta have it again.
Yeah, come on.
You sure?
Yeah. That's hard.
Okay, wait for the backing vocals.
Okay, I think I got it.
Yeah?
I don't know if I have. It feels very familiar, but I can't put my finger.
Oh, it's very familiar.
Yeah.
So, your names and your answers. Which band, which song was that? As I say, it's from Noughties.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to Absolute Radio, where real music matters. And I believe that so much so, I've had it printed on a mug, which you can win early doors. And joining us right now, we have Ben. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Ben, Hello. Welcome to the show. Ben in Berkhamshaw works for Nestle, so we are currently speaking to the Berkhamshaw Wonka.
Great, yes.
Welcome to the show, sir. I'm going to play the clip again. It's the first second of the song. It's the last second of the song. But which song is it? Here we go. Go for it, Ben.
The View, Same Jeans.
Yes.
Wow, impressive.
Well done, Benjamin. Congratulations. Where are you going to keep your mug?
Well, I'm going to stay in this van. I'm an electrical contractor, so I'll be travelling around the country with it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Travelling around the country in a van with one of our mugs on the dashboard. Yeah. It's just like the Willy Wonka book, isn't it? It's just like... Ben, thank you so much for tuning into the show. We'll speak to you real soon.
Cheers, thank you.
Take care, my friend, and there will be another edition of my first, my last, my everything around this time tomorrow morning, and therefore it's your chance to win a mug.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Let's get socially armed with Matt Dyson. Matt, what's going on out there?
First, the loudest fish known to humanity. A lot of people talking about this on the social media. It's the loudest noise from the smallest fish in the ocean.
Okay.
A tiny little transparent fish. It's about 12 millimetres long. It's called the Danionella cerebrum.
Yeah, I think we know what it's called.
Yeah. Some scientists in Germany kept walking past its tank and they noticed this noise coming out of it, and they realised that the fish, these tiny little fish, were sort of talking to each other and making a very loud noise that's like 140 decibels. It's louder than a gunshot in the water. For such small fish, they can make the loudest noise because apparently sound attenuates underwater with distance. I think we all know
that.
What
was that word?
Attenuates.
Okay.
I'd never heard it before. So underwater, it gets louder the further away from it you are. So it starts off this tiny little fish makes a little drumming noise on its like rib cage, on its bladder, and that suddenly it gets louder and louder until it sounds like a bulldozer.
This is going to make a great drunk podcast.
I mean, it's hard to believe, but this is what it sounds like, the sound of a fish making the noise of a bulldozer. I mean, it's like slightly underwhelming.
Doesn't seem that loud.
Yeah. What's it talked about? Is that just sort of classic banter?
Yeah, so get away from me.
The question is, if a fish makes a noise underwater, yes,
exactly.
We don't. Nobody's around to hear.
I like the fact it sounds like the Predator. That's what really gets me going. Yeah. I was going to cover myself in mud listening to that.
And then the other story, a lovely question that came from a listener on Instagram. It's from someone called Tina Clarelli. She sent me a message saying, "Hi, Matt, I came across this, thought it may arouse a reaction from your breakfast listeners. I must admit it made me feel quite sick, on a par with sharing..."
Oh, she knows us so well.
"On a par with sharing a toothbrush." And I think she's right. I mean, there's not many people that are possibly going to like this. It's a video of a couple sharing some bubble tea, right? Bubble tea, of course, it's like Taiwanese tea. It can be fruit tea, it can be milk tea. Big straws with little balls of tapioca inside filled with fruit juice or chewy stuff. Kids are obsessed with them at the moment.
Yeah, you see a lot of bubble tea around.
A lot of bubble tea around. The girlfriend puts the straw to one side of her mouth, drinking the bubble tea. The boyfriend puts his straw in the other side of her mouth, and as she sucks the drink into her mouth, he then sucks the drink out into his mouth.
What's he getting out of that?
I don't know. I've got no idea.
Typical selfish Glenn.
I've got no idea why they do it, but it's a gross thing to witness.
Cut out the middleman. Just drink.
Exactly, yeah. But it's like, you know, if you're gonna, you know, you're with the love of your life, you kiss them all the time, why not drink from their mouth at the same time, which I think what the theory...
This isn't dating advice, by the way, kids.
What the theory behind it is, I've got no idea. It's just very bizarre. But yes, thank you, Tina, for sharing.
Tina wants us to ask our listeners, would you drink from your partner's mouth? Is that effectively...
Yeah, I think that's
Tina, is that what you want?
That's the question, yeah.
Because that's what's going to happen right now on the show.
She wants a one-song question.
Are you
a bird feeding their young?
Oh, yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's it. That's what it is.
And of course, if you don't have a partner, if you're single... What about a work colleague? That's just the same.
Try it in the office.
Would you drink from your partner's mouth? 8, 12, 15. It can be a firm yes. Of course I would. It can be a firm no. Maybe a reason as to why.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
I would do anything for bubble tea. But I won't do that.
It's a good name for the podcast, that. Ring the bell.
Thank you, my friend. So, would you drink from your partner's mouth? If you're single, what about work colleague?
It's not the same, is it?
It can be.
That's true.
8, 12, 15. Good morning. I wouldn't do it with a person, but I have accidentally done it with my dog.
Oh.
Like Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah. Spaghetti.
Accidentally.
Wow.
Because Glenn and I chose to eat like that at the last works do. Yeah. They don't invite us anymore. No! Bubble tea is the devil's own satanic vomit.
What?
Anyway, let alone adding backwash into the equation, says Nick. Morning, Nick.
Oh, so any other drink, he'd be fine.
Yeah, any other. Yeah. Yes, I would. I love my wife, says Dom.
Nice.
You've got to agree to do this as well, by the way. That's the thing. Tina pointed out a couple that are happy to do this.
Yeah.
Don't just go trying to, like, drink from your partner's mouth without pre-warning.
Take a straw.
It's not fair. And now we have this. I've shared wine from my wife's mouth. Nothing wrong with it. I've also licked her tongue. Natch.
Oh.
From Dobbo of Grays. Now, I think it's widely overused, the term unpack, so we've got a lot to unpack. But when it comes, that is as punchy, and there's a lot to unpack as you're ever going to get from a text message to a live breakfast
show. It's weird that, like, licking a tongue sounds so weird, but kissing sounds fine.
Yeah. Well, it depends how you do it, Emma, but... But anyway... Thanks, Tina. Look what you started. We're all oversharing. I've shared wine from my wife's mouth. Nothing wrong with it. I've also licked her tongue. Natch. Dobbo of Grays. So now we know a little bit about your techers, Em. Let me stay with you. I think I know the answer to this. Would you drink from Stefan's mouth?
I draw the line at the cereal milk.
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's gone too far.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
You can't unsee that, can you?
No, I think drinking... Like, I got a lot of stick for saying that I drink the remains of the cereal milk out of Stefan's bowl.
So grim.
But I don't think that's as bad as drinking the milk out of somebody's own mouth.
Yeah.
Which they're going to swallow anyway.
Weirdly, bubble tea is the... I would drink regular scalding hot tea. But it's because it's globules. It's got bits.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the glue.
What I'd do is I'd let Katie drink the bubble tea, she'd swallow the tea and then spit the balls into my mouth. And then I would bite into them and go, a mango flavour. That would be lovely. I think that seems more hygienic. Like a pea shoot.
Don't you feel like you live in the Beano?
Right, I think we're done here. I'm gonna have to wrap this up. But thank you, Tina.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
And that's directly linked to one member of the team taking on a challenge. It's going to happen live on the show in about 10 minutes' time. But first, allow me to set up what's going on here. So we begin with Jack White, a legendary musician, frontman of the Raconteurs, and of course the White Stripes. He's known for knowing his music. His extensive music knowledge stretches far and wide, but his specialist subject is the Beatles.
Yes.
Now, he posted a video of himself on socials playing Beat the Intro, a Beatles special. He gets just 1 second of the start of each Beatles record that's
one
played.
One point for the artist.
It's played for him off camera. He does an incredible job of guessing 12 out of 12. Have a listen to this.
Boys. Lady Madonna. Enya Birkin sing. Julia. Roll Over Beethoven. I'm Looking Through You. 8 days a week.
It won't be long.
From me to you. It's getting better.
It's amazing, man.
Oh, let's get back. Back in the USSR. No, Dear Prudence.
Okay, so that's Jack White.
That's amazing.
Playing Beat the Intro, a Beatles special. Just 1 second at the beginning of each song. Now, I took that video and I posted it on the show's WhatsApp group, naming it Jack versus Glenn.
Oh, boy.
To which Emma commented, I smell a challenge coming on. Well, Glenn, you've got about 10 minutes.
To listen to all
the
songs.
Get on there. You need to get the red and the blue album up.
I hope I like them.
And you need to get your practice in because we are going to be giving you the kind of Jack White Beatles challenge. I'm going to give you 1 second at the start of a random selection of Beatles songs from across the era. You are not getting any of the same songs that you just heard Jack White getting. That's the only clue I'm giving you.
Right.
And the Jack versus Glenn challenge is coming next.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Here we go. We've all been waiting for it. The heavyweight contest of Beat the Intro between Jack White, the legendary frontman of the White Stripes, and our very own Glenn Moore. Glenn, you can do this.
All right, okay.
Well, you can't, actually, because there's a technicality.
Oh.
Jack White did 12 out of 12, and I've only got you 8 clips.
Right,
but anyway,
so, okay.
But, you know, if you can get 100%...
Yeah. Then we can still operate on 100%.
Yeah. There you go. So we know you can do this.
All right.
If you're just joining us, what happened? Jack White posted a video on his socials of playing a Beat the Intro Beatles special. He was given 1 second of the beginning of each song, and he did do an incredible job getting 12 out of 12. And so Emma suggested we give Glenn a go, and I think it's a nice idea. So, Glenn, you've got 1 second on each intro.
All right.
Play along where you are. This is your first Beatles song.
Eleanor Rigby. Eleanor Rigby again.
Just giving everyone a little flavour. Just in case everyone's forgotten how good the Beatles are.
Yes.
Excellent work.
Day in the Life. Strawberry Fields Forever. Let
me take
Oh, so good.
A lot of intros that don't sound like the rest of the song.
Nothing is real. Nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields Forever.
So that's 3 out of 3 so far.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your fourth intro. 1 second.
She loves you.
You're so lucky. I actually was tempted to cut the she off that one, but I didn't. I left it in the end.
Even I would have got that.
You're just so lucky the masses in the early 60s wanted really short intros on their pop songs.
Yeah,
that's why
like
you got
1 minute 40 or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the whole song I just played there. Okay, excellent work. Mm. So, just like Jack White, you have 100% so far. Up next, this one.
Blackbird.
Blackbird.
Oh, yes.
Blackbird.
When I saw Paul McCartney live, him doing this was one of the highlights of the whole show.
Not frog chorus.
I was part of the chorus that night. Now, this, I think, is a very easy one.
Okay. Obla di obla da.
Absolutely. 6 out of 6, 100%. With just two Beatles songs remaining. I'm going to stop that. That's not my favourite.
No.
Okay.
Here, There and Everywhere.
Yes, it is! She doesn't know.
And if she's beside me, I know I need never. You've given me no Ringo.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
all been Paul. It's yeah. all been John. Yeah. Give me Octopus's Garden now.
Said no one ever. Yeah. This is the final one.
All right.
To match Jack White to make it 8 out of 8.
All you need is love.
Well done, Glenn. You've done
Thank
it.
You.
We
Impressive.
Knew you would.
Thank you.
On the Beat the Intro Beatles Song Special, just a 1 second intro. Jack White managed 12 out of 12. Al Glenmore managed 8 out of 8, a 100% record. Well done.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
The perfect time, in my opinion, to discuss grown-up shows your kids like watching.
Mm. Yeah.
It's happened in my life. My daughter is 5 years old and her new favourite show is called The Doghouse, which is a really interesting idea because basically they've taken the whole premise of first dates and they've taken one of the people who's on that date, extracted them from the whole premise of the show and replaced them with a dog. So that's what you've got. So it's a really nice idea. There's no barman in it.
No.
But what you have is you have people and individuals who, for myriad reasons, are looking for the companionship of a dog. And then they go to this place that rehomes dogs and they get to meet potentially the dog of their dreams.
Oh.
And there's a moment where they talked with the receptionist about it, like they did the barman in First Dates, and there's no Fred in it.
Fred.
They tickle his little beard. That's Fred again. this is her favourite show.
Right.
This is
it's
Evie's
like speed
favourite
dating
show.
For dogs.
But it is, but it's really moving, and some of the topics that are covered in it really are touching, and you know, there's tears to the eyes stuff. Ooh. Obviously Evie's watching it just because she likes to see the dogs come
yeah,
running.
Yeah. Mm.
But I'm thinking, you know, is the, you know, big grown-up TV for kids is a thing. The Hypebeast Womble's daughter Lulu watches Saving Lives at Sea. That's what he then went on to tell me, which made me feel slightly better about myself. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible work, Saving Lives at Sea. You said she can name all of the
stations.
All of the stations. She can name all of the stations around the UK, which is incredible. Yeah. And then Matt, I mean, as a topper, Ted, what does he like watching?
Well, it was a couple of years ago. He's moved on from it now, but a couple of years ago, he was well into motorhoming with Paul Merton and Suki Webster.
I mean, it's incredible. 3 years old, he would have been.
He used to go, put caravan show. It's like a motorhome, Ted.
I suppose at least he's a nice tweet. It'd be weird like if he was like really into like Making a Murderer or something.
Yeah. It's not harrowing.
Really. Yeah, okay. Emma, I mean, Joseph's two now, so...
Literally just in the last week, we've got into the Farmer's Country Showdown on BBC One.
Oh.
Which is on in the afternoon. We had it on by accident one day. And then, obviously, it's animals. So he was very into it. But the problem is they tend to focus on a different animal every episode. And he only really likes cows. So you kind of have to... You kind of have to sift through and find out the big cow showdowns.
Fast forward
Or just re-watch the cow episode again and again and again.
No, I can't do that for my own sanity.
I know what you mean. Glenn, what about you?
Yeah, specifically, as of yesterday... the Bohemian Rhapsody video.
Oh, wow.
Elliot's obsessed with it, which is great because I can't watch Monsters University again. I can't do it. And he just watches, it's always the same thing every single day. And I wonder if when he goes to bed, he thinks that me and Katie just watch the same episode of One Day every night, you know, whatever. But it's such a welcome relief that, yeah, that 6-minute music video, he just wants that again and again. He's just absolutely transfixed.
So what about you out there? That's the question. Grown-up shows your kids watch.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Dave and the team, when my daughter, who is now 19, was little, she spent a lot of time with my dad. Hence, her favourite programmes are still to this day and were at the time Keeping Up Appearances and Last of the Summer Wine. And this is no offence to anyone in it or the brilliant creators who put it together, and it's one of the long-running great British comedies, I understand that. I hate Last of the Summer Wine with an absolute passion.
I used to as a child, yeah, certainly.
Oh, yeah, I mean, not now.
Don't put that on. Don't
it's just like, oh, I've got to go to school tomorrow and I've not done any homework.
I'm scared of Nora Batty.
But Keeping Up Appearances, on the other hand.
Oh, yeah.
You actually call the Kings of Leon debut album the bouquet, don't you?
Mum, fetch my white vest. Settling down. Yeah, I mean, oh, no. So we also have my 7-year-old daughter, who's named Miranda, loves Call the Midwife, especially when the babies are born, from Nick in Oxford. Hi, guys. My son used to watch Randall and Hopkirk Deceased.
Wow. mean,
when he was 6 years old, he absolutely loved it, says Pete from Nottingham. Let's have a listen to the theme tune to Randall and Hopkirk Deceased. Just picture a 6-year-old sat cross-legged in front of the telly. Here we go. Bluey on Disney Plus, it ain't. This could be our new Fanny and Alexander.
Yes, good music.
I can't work out tonally what the show could possibly be about.
Well, Matt, this is where you normally come in, isn't it?
Wow, Vic and Bob remade it in the noughties, didn't they? But I've never watched it. One of them was a ghost, is that right?
Yeah, I think they were like a detective agency where one of them had passed away, so came back as a ghost, and then they would investigate
crimes.
Solve
his own murder.
I don't know, let's write it down.
Yeah, I'm writing this down. Ghost detective.
So keep them coming. It's grown-up shows that kids just love to watch.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to The Breakfast Show, where we're currently discussing the grown-up shows that your kids love or love to watch. Now, the number is 81215. And using that number and joining us now live on the show is Helen. Good morning, Helen.
Hi, Dave. Hi, everyone. Oh,
Helen, welcome along to the show. So let's break it down. How old was your child when they were obsessed with the show you're about to reveal? What was their age at the time?
I think he was about 6.
He was about 6 years old. And what was your son, what's your son's name?
Stanley.
So Stanley was 6 years old. And so he's a little child and he'd sit down. And which grown-up telly show did he like the best, Helen?
He really, really enjoyed Can't Pay, Take It Away.
Wow. What? He was well into debt collection.
Challenging TV to watch for anyone, even those of us over 18, you know, which I barely am. So he watched so much Can't Pay, Take It Away. He was so obsessed that he actually had a favourite, and I'm going to say character, but he had a favourite character. Who was his favourite character?
So there was, and I'll never forget this moment as long as I live, because I just thought there's no other child on the planet that has just said that line. But a guy popped up on the TV and he said, "Oh, that's Steve Pinner. He's my favourite bailiff."
My favourite bailiff. Wow. Can I get his face on my duvet set? Please, mummy.
It's true, isn't it? Most people have got a favourite Teletubby, not a favourite bailiff.
Favourite bailiff. That is so worrying.
Oh, dear. Steve Pinner, if you're listening, get in touch, 81215. How old is Stanley now?
Stanley's 14.
Well, we like to make that teenage boy's dream come true by introducing him to his bailifting hero.
It's all-time favourite bailiff.
So, I mean, is young Stanley still into Can't Pay, Take It Away, or has he moved on?
No.
Slum Landlords?
It was just a phase, sadly.
Oh, well, that is great. As you say, a unique sentence from the mouth of a 6-year-old lad. That's my favourite bailiff, Steve Pinner. I mean, that's just wonderful.
He is one of the best, though, isn't he, Pinner? He's a real goat in the bailiff.
Helen, thanks for sharing that story. We love it. Have a great day ahead, and thank you for tuning into the show.
You too, guys. Thanks.
Cheers, Alan. Bye now. Bye.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
So many coming in. Just so interesting. Connor, who is now 28, used to listen to the shipping forecast program as a child.
It's 12 minutes to one. Now here's the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office. On behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015, today, Monday, the 24th of July.
Oh, it's a repeat. OK, let's move on, shall we, to Dave. My six-year-old daughter is obsessed with Police Interceptors from Chris Leyland. That's the most popular grown-up show for kids we've had in on the text. We've had hundreds of children around the land love Police Interceptors, which I've never watched.
No, neither have
I. But I'm going to change that today. Katie in London. Dave, when I was a kid, I used to love watching Lovejoy. And could play the theme tune on the recorder.
Oh,
I used to run up and grab it from my bedroom as soon as it came to the end of the show and perform it for my parents. And then Katie concludes her message with, also heartbeat. This is the Lovejoy theme.
Sunday nights, yeah.
Another programme that Matt Dyson is strong-arming young producer Swiss into watching. It's got Ian McShane in it.
Yeah.
He's in John Wick.
You like John Wick, don't you?
This is very similar. Yeah. Imagine John Wick with antiques.
Yeah. That's basically what it is.
Oh. Who'd like to have Katie on the show tomorrow playing this on the recorder?
I'd like that.
Katie, if you're... we tried to call you. You must have gone into work or something, but if you still got your recorder, I'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah, imagine this on a recorder.
This must have been beautiful.
It's quite hard, isn't it?
And that's what being a parent's all about. Katie says she used to perform this for her parents every Sunday when Lovejoy was on. And they used to sit there patiently and they'd probably clap at the end. Well done, Ma and Pa. My son Miles knows all the words to the theme tune of Minder, thanks to Nanny and Grandad, and of course, UK Gold. It's from Steve in Essex. Who would like to have Steve's son Miles on the show tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't say how old he is, because if he's like 30 now, not that impressive. But if he's like 10, get him on the show.
Yes, why not?
If he's not at school, we'll have him on. I've just realised, has this got any words?
I think it does, yeah, because he sang the theme tune. Wrong people, wrong time and the wrong location.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
But we'll get him on to sing it
We'll
tomorrow,
get him on to sing it, OK, because what we've got right now is an instrumental and it desperately needs someone's son name, I don't know, maybe Miles, to sing over the top of it live on the radio tomorrow morning.
Well, I spy a spin-off station coming.
Here we go.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to The Breakfast Show, where earlier on, a listener by the name of Tina slid into Matt Dyson's DMs with a tale from TikTok involving people sharing a straw and one of them consuming some bubble tea and then putting it into the other's mouth.
Yeah.
Anyway, it led to us asking the question, would you drink from your partner's mouth? And needless to say, we let it all hang out. I would do anything for bubble tea, but I won't do that.
It's a good name for the podcast, that. Ring the bell.
Thank you, my friend. So, would you drink from your partner's mouth? If you're single, what about work colleague?
It's not the same, is it?
It can be.
That's true.
8, 12, 15. Good morning. I wouldn't do it with a person, but I have accidentally done it with my dog.
Oh.
Like Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah.
Accidentally.
Wow.
Because Glenn and I chose to eat like that at the last works do. They don't invite us anymore. No! Bubble tea is the devil's own satanic vomit.
What?
Anyway, let alone adding backwash into the equation. Says Nick. Oh. Morning, Nick.
Oh, so any other drink he'd be fine.
Yeah, any other. Yeah. Yes, yes, I would. I love my wife.
Oh.
Says Dom. Nice. You've got to agree to do this as well, by the way. That's the thing. Tina pointed out a couple that are happy to do this.
Yeah.
Don't just go trying to, like, drink from your partner's mouth without pre-warning.
Take a straw.
It's not fair. And now we have this. I've shared wine from my wife's mouth. Nothing wrong with it. I've also licked her tongue. Natch from Dobbo of Grays. Now, yes. I think it's widely overused, the term unpack, so we've got a lot to unpack. But when it comes, that is as punchy and there's a lot to unpack as you're ever going to get from a text message to a live breakfast
it's
show.
It's weird that, like, licking a tongue sounds so weird, but kissing sounds fine.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it depends how you do it, Emma, but... But anyway... Thanks, Tina. Look what you started. We're all oversharing. I've shared wine from my wife's mouth. Nothing wrong with it. I've also licked her tongue. Natch. Dobbo of Grays. So now we know a little bit about your techers, Em. Let me stay with you. I think I know the answer to this. Would you drink from Stefan's mouth?
I draw the line at the cereal milk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's gone too far.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
You can't unsee that, can you?
No, I think drinking... Like, I got a lot of stick for saying that I drink the remains of the cereal milk out of Stefan's bowl.
So grim.
But I don't think that's as bad as drinking the milk out of somebody's own mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which they're going to swallow anyway.
Yeah. I, weirdly, bubble tea is the, I would drink regular scalding hot tea, but it's because it's globules. It's that it's got bits.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the glue.
Yeah. What I'd do is I'd let Katie drink the bubble tea, she'd swallow the tea and then spit the balls into my mouth. And then I would bite into them and go, oh, a mango flavour. That would be lovely. I think that seems more hygienic. But like a pea shoot.
Don't feel like you live in the Beano.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
And just like that, the Tuesday morning edition of The Breakfast Show is done. And what an edition of the show it has been. Thank you for tuning in and joining in. The naming bell rung on so many separate occasions.
Yeah.
Matt Dyson, do you like the Birkinshaw Wonka as the name of a podcast?
I do like that. That was Ben from Nestle early on the show. Yeah.
Or perhaps I've also licked her tongue, Natch. Oh. Do you like that as the name of a podcast?
The words of Dobbo of Grays, yeah.
Talking of people's words, what about your own words, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
She'd swallow the tea and spit the balls into my mouth.
That was
do you like that as the name of a podcast, Matt?
I can't believe I actually said that sentence, but maybe not keep that one.
Pass it around the circle like a balloon between your knees.
Someone hoping to do the bubble tea thing at a teacher's meeting later on.
I'm scared of Nora Batten.
That was someone who used to watch Last of the Summer Wine as a child.
And, well, my personal favourite, but it's up to you.
Oh.
This is a great...
Yeah.
Out of the mouths of babes.
I think it has to be, yeah.
My favourite bailiff.
My favourite
bailiff. My favourite bailiff.
A young child obsessed with debt collection TV. It has to be that one, yeah.
So clearly, it's all going on in the latest edition of the Daily Podcast, which will shortly be made available wherever you do your pod dealings. Shortly made available on Absolute Radio will be Leona Graham. She has her tea break trivia and the details you need to win £144,000 on Make Me a Winner, and you win it this very day. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. So until then, stay safe, stay entertained. Arrivederci.